Well, I just want to tell you something this morning. I hope you don't get creeped out by it. But I love to watch you worship. It gets me so inspired when I look out here and I see people just singing their hearts out and lifting their hands. And this morning, I was really inspired by that. And I want to thank you for that, because that really blesses me and that really gets me fired up. And man, just keep doing that and just keep seeking the face of God during worship. Amen. So, well, Pastor Josh and Marsha aren't with us today. And, you know, it's so important that our pastor and his family can get a couple days to get a little R&R time. Amen. I've never encountered a harder working person in my life. I have seen him take entire years without a single week of vacation. I've seen him just work the entire year straight through. And for him to be able to get away for a couple of days, I think that's super important. And I'd like us right now, before we get into the word, to just pray for him and pray for his family that they can truly have a couple days of peace and rest and come back recharged. Will you pray with me about that? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Pastor Josh and Marsha and Anna and Zoe. And Lord, we just pray right now for rest and peace to come upon their spirits as they're away for a little bit. We pray for complete health to come over their entire bodies. Lord, I just pray that they just have fun. They need to have just a couple days to just let loose and have a great time and relax. And Lord, I just pray that over them right now, that they come back charged up and ready to go. And Lord, we give you all the glory for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So Pastor Josh has been exhorting us this year towards real victory. And not long ago, I was talking to him and he asked me, he said, what does real victory mean to you? And I have to be honest with you, I've been pondering that question ever since. But though the revelation of real victory continues to grow deeper each week, here's what real victory means to me today. Real victory doesn't beat around the bush or sugarcoat the fact that we are all real people facing real problems. Take a look at the person next to you. Go ahead, have a look at them. Check them out. Take a look at the person on the other side. And now turn to your neighbor and say, you got issues. And if you're married to that person, you already knew that. But everybody is dealing with something on some level. You may look like you've got it all together on the outside, but everybody deals with something, whether it be something small or something large. Everybody deals with something. Real victory acknowledges that, but where real victory excels is in the truth that if we don't quit, we can't lose. Let that sink in for a second. If we don't quit, not we won't lose, we can't lose. The only way the devil can beat us is if he can get us to stop. If we won't quit, we can't lose. Real victory is relentless. It is consistent. I liken it to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, which says, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Every day is better than the day before. Every day we're closer than we were yesterday. We may not have reached perfection, but praise God, we're closer today than we were last week. And real victory acknowledges our own personal shortcomings, but at the same time clings to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Real victory is not always pretty, but it is total. Think about David on the field of battle, standing there over the body of Goliath, holding up that head and all the tendons and the blood and the guts coming off of that thing. That is not a pretty picture, but that is a total victory. Victory is not always pretty, but it is total. Real victory is exciting, it's adventurous, and it is life. And real victory best defines my deliverance in life from fear and anxiety. From the day that I resolved to never allow fear and anxiety to be in the driver's seat of my life, every day, every week, and every month has gotten continuously better. Some of you have heard my testimony before on a Wednesday night, but I'm excited to have the opportunity to share the impact of God's victory in my life with you this morning. I believe I have a word of encouragement for you today, and no doubt there are some of you that will relate to this story all too well. But the best part of the story is that God wins. And if we don't quit, we can't lose. So some people inherit money, and some people inherit good looks and special talents, but the Weil family, they inherit fear and anxiety. Most of the adults on the Weil side suffer from it in some way, shape, or form. And around the age of 23, I began to suffer from bouts of insomnia. That's where it began for me. Just sleepless night. It started off as just here and there, and then it became several nights a week until I'd hit patterns of 2, 3, 4 nights in a row, being up sometimes till the alarm would go off and I'd have to go to work. And then, you know, after 3 or 4 days of that, your body finally will crash and you'll sleep for 14 hours and start the cycle all over again. I began missing work from time to time just because I'd be up several nights in a row and the alarm would go off and I realized I hadn't slept at all and I missed some work. I began looking for other ways to try to solve the problem. I thought that I started drinking in the evenings. I started taking shots of whiskey and things that would try to just to dull my senses enough that I could fall asleep. And then as a result of that, the next morning I was drinking entire pots of coffee just to wake myself up. And this became a cycle for me for about a year and a half. And during that time, I began to develop some pretty serious digestive issues. I won't go into the details. You can use your imagination. And that went on until finally my wife, the great saint of God that she is, she finally said, all right, enough of this. We're going to the doctor. We're going to get this checked out. And, you know, the doctors couldn't diagnose the problem. They could try to diagnose the symptoms, but they couldn't diagnose the problem. They just told me it was like IBS, and they medicated me on Paxil and some super-powered form of Pepto-Bismol, which you take one of those, you don't go for like 4 days. just saying. And another year and a half passed, and this is 3 years' time, until on June 3rd, 2006, was the first bit of good news I had. And I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. On June 3rd, 2006, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that was a turning point for me. That showed me a new way. I went home that evening and I threw that medication in the garbage can. I'm not telling you to do that. I felt led to do that at that moment. I threw the Paxil away and I've never taken it since. And I had a breakthrough when God filled me with His Holy Spirit. But you know, since that time, it hasn't all been roses and butterflies. Since the moment I was filled with the Holy Spirit, there were still challenges. Fear has still tried to come against me many times. I've battled bouts of anxiety attacks, sometimes for short stints, sometimes long stints. Last spring, I battled anxiety attacks for about 2 months during the spring months. But I want you to know this morning that if you deal with anything like this, you have a hope and a future, and His name is Jesus Christ. See, fear and anxiety attacks run in my family. And for part of my life, I lived as a victim of fear. But by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truthfulness of the Word of God, I have been delivered from fear. And that doesn't mean that opportunities to fear don't come along anymore. But it does mean that I live in total victory over fear, and it'll never have a hold on me again. It's not always pretty, but it is total. The words fear not or do not be afraid are the most repeated phrases in all the Bible. In fact, those phrases appear hundreds of times in scriptures. God wants us to clearly understand that fear is not part of His plan for our life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For God has not given us a spirit of fear. God doesn't give the problem, but He does give the solution, power, love, and a sound mind. We need to understand the source. God is not the source of fear. God is the source of our deliverance. Fear is a lie from the pit of hell. John 8:44, Jesus says, speaking of the devil, He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in Him." When He speaks a lie, He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Fear comes from Satan, and it's a direct indication of his personality, a liar. Because fear is based on what could happen, not necessarily on what will happen. Faith is based on what did happen because of what Christ did at Calvary and on what is happening now because of our covenant agreement with us. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Satan uses fear as a cheap counterfeit of faith. And I want to show you this morning, because one of Satan's plans is to rip off the things of God. He wants to create a counterfeit of everything that God has done. And Romans 4, 16 and 17 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Faith calls things which do not exist into existence. Now follow me this morning. Satan uses fear to try to do the same thing. For some people, fear is an external fear, like Marcia's example of fear of flying, or a fear of a person, or of an object, or of a situation. But for other people, fear is internal. It's self-created, creating scenarios in the mind that are not real, and then reacting to them as if they were, calls things which do not exist as though they did. Some people create scenarios and then react to them as if they were real. That sounds a lot like faith, doesn't it? But it's not. It's fear. It's Satan's weapon to try to counterfeit the things of God. In reality, Satan can only get us to fear if he can convince us to believe the lie of what could happen and leave our position of power. Self-imposed fear is one of the devil's tactics. The enemy doesn't have to work as hard if he can get you to do the work for him. If he can get you to chase after wild thoughts and imaginations, he doesn't have to sit there and poke you. He just has to give you a thought, and if you decide to run with it, his work is done there. You take it over from there. But it's so important that we learn how to guard our minds from the lies of the devil. The mind is the first place the devil will attack. He will try to get you to follow wild scenarios and even encourage you to pursue thoughts that are against your purpose and against the people that you love the most. In my life, the devil has tried to get me to believe three lies. And I want to be clear with you, these are lies. But these are three areas where he has come against me. Lie number one is that I need to quit because I'm not good enough. That thought has come against me so many times. I need to quit teaching at the school. I'm no good at it. I need to stop singing with the praise band. I'm no good at it. I need to get off the platform right now and not preach. I'm no good at it. That thought, we'll get you to lunch sooner though, wouldn't it? But that thought has come against me so many times. That lie, I need to quit because I'm not good enough. Lie number two, and this one always seems to come in the middle of the night when there's nobody, everyone's asleep and I'm still awake. And lie number two is you're all alone. And the partner lie that goes with that is lie number three, it will never end. You're all alone. It'll never end. You need to quit. You're not good enough. Those three lies are the basis for every anxiety attack that's ever come against me. But you know what? You can train your mind not to listen to those lies. And one way to do it is to speak the truth with your mouth. God loves me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He is my provider, my shield, my exceedingly great reward. He gives his beloved sleep. You can speak these things out loud. The word of God has power. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. That means words can go places that flesh can't go. And if you'll speak the word of God, it can pierce down into places that the devil can't get to. And that word of God can get in there and lift you out of that darkness. I've laid in my bed singing praise and worship songs because that, those powerful words that we sing in our songs here at church, they can go places that the devil can't get to and bring me back from that darkness. Amen? So today I want to give you three reasons why we don't have to fear. Reason number one, Jesus conquered death. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. One of Satan's biggest deceptions is creating the fear of death in people. And if we fear death, we'll be less active in life. Because that's really what he wants to stop. He wants to stop us from spreading the gospel. He wants to stop us from having a good testimony that we're just so happy about that we can't help but share it with somebody else. If he can get us to fear death, he can get us to be less active in life. But when Jesus died, he took the sin of the world on himself. And by the power of God, he rose from the dead, defeating death, and he took the power of death away from the devil and set us free. See, most fear is rooted in death. If you take whatever you fear and trace it back to the worst case scenario, it usually results in death. But if we work backwards from that, if I die, I go to be with Christ. And that's my best case scenario. And if I work backwards from that, we can quickly unravel that lie and that fear that the devil has put together. Jesus has conquered death. Number two this morning, a powerless devil cannot keep us from our purpose. How many of you know that you have a purpose for the kingdom of God? And maybe some of you are searching for that purpose, but I encourage you, when you've become born again and made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your second question should be, what now, Lord? What would you have me to do today, Lord? What have you called me to do? Where can I plug into your ministry today? Because like Pastor Josh always says, we are the ministers. We come here to fuel up each Sunday and each Wednesday, but then we go out and we minister the gospel to those who need it, right? A powerless devil cannot keep us from our purpose. Matthew 10:28 says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. What is the soul? The mind, the will, and our emotions. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the mind, will, and emotions. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Once you realize that Satan cannot do anything beyond this life, then everything else in our lives that we fear is based on emotion or feelings or self-imposed pressure. That's an area that I had to work through and sometimes still work through is self-imposed pressure, creating those scenarios in your brain, taking a thought and running with it. You know, we can shut that down with the Word of God. These things can be counteracted by renewing our minds on the Word of God and through communing with our Heavenly Father in prayer. And I just want to say this morning, if you feel like you're in a situation like that where fear or something is keeping you from your purpose, you know, you can cut your losses. I think sometimes the devil wants you to focus on how bad a situation is so that all you think about is, it just isn't the way I want it to be right now. I wish it were better than it is right now. I wish I would have done it this way 3 months ago or 3 years ago. Or I wish I would have followed my call when I was 18 and I never did. You know, you can cut your losses and move forward. You can go to God and say, I can't fix the past, but what I can do is commit to you today. And I know that if I commit to you today and I do it your way today, it will only get better from here. No matter what the situation is, if you'll commit to him today, it'll only get better from here. I like Colossians 2:15, and this is a scripture that has set me free many times. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Disarmed. Jesus disarmed the enemy. That means he took the weapons away from the enemy. That the enemy is all smoke and mirrors. All he can do is create scenarios. He can only give visions and clouds. He doesn't actually have any physical weapons. Jesus took his weapons away. He walked up to him, smacked him down, and took his weapons away. All he can do is create an image, and we can choose whether to follow that direction or not, but we can just blow that mist away and move forward. You know, when I sing with everything I've got, and it may not always be pretty, but my voice is one of my weapons against the devil. And when I sing, I'm conscious of my constant victory over him. The devil cannot keep me from my purpose. Only I can do that. And hear me this morning. The devil can't keep me from my purpose. I talk to people and I talk to students sometimes and they say, the devil made me do that, or the devil has not let me do that, or the devil's keeping me from doing that. The devil can't keep you from doing that. The devil doesn't have the weapons to keep you from doing that. The devil can only get in here and get you to keep you from doing that. The devil can't stop you. Only you can stop you. So the question is, which leading will you follow? Will you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit or the leading of the fear-filled thoughts that have come against your mind? The leading of the Holy Spirit is always encouraging, and it's always going to lead you to a place of joy and a place of purpose. The leading of the devil is always going to bring you into condemnation. The devil is just going to remind you of everything you've done wrong. The Holy Spirit's going to remind you that if you follow him, you can start doing things right. And number three this morning, number one, Jesus conquered death. Number two, a powerless devil cannot keep us from our purpose. And number three this morning, God has provided for our well-being. You know, as a dad and a husband and many of you are parents out here, sometimes the ability to provide for our children is something that can cause fear and anxiety in our lives. But God has provided for our well-being. And Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22, says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And if you, then, are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Leave that up there for a second, Karen. I'm gonna come back to that. But see, God knows that we need food and clothing and shelter to survive. He will provide for us if we'll honor him, serve him, love him, and obey him. Those are all part of our promises for the kingdom. God created the birds and the plants the same as he created humans. And if he cares for those other things, of course he will care for us. But he says here, do not have an anxious mind. We need to learn how to relax our minds. I'm what you would call a type A personality. If my wife were here this morning, she would attest to this. I have to plan relaxation time, like physically plan it. Like say, I'm going to take the next 33 minutes to relax. I've had to train myself to get away from that type of thinking. We can train ourselves in the Word of God to relax our mind. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Let's go to verse 30, Karen. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. The world seeks and labors and toils after these things, but the people of God need not fear because it's provided for us. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, here's the punchline, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God because it is of higher value than the immediate needs that we're seeking after. It encompasses all of our needs, and in fact, prosperity is only a small portion of the kingdom. And verse 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We need not fear because God wants to bless us. He's just waiting for us to show a little bit of faith so that he can bless us in return. God will take care. God will take a little bit of faith and go a long way with it. You know, there is one place in which fear is encouraged in the Bible, and that's when it is in reference to the fear of the Lord. Fear of God is a component of faith in God, and it always brings edification, it creates a response towards obedience, and it brings benefits. And maybe you're sitting out here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, John, you just described my life. I'm in a continuous cycle of fear, and I just can't get out of it. You know, I was there. I used to say to my wife over and over, I don't want to be like this. I'm not trying to be like this. And I couldn't get out of that cycle. And that continued until I remember one night in particular. And I was alone in the darkness of the night crying out to God. And it was in that place of isolation that I realized something that I want to share with you today. My wife could not help me. My pastor could not help me. My friends could not help me. Do you know why? Because they're not my God. And only my God could help me. And maybe you've been to that place. Maybe you've been to that place of brokenness. And though I don't look back on that night as a fun experience, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Because it was there that I learned how to trust the Lord my God and his Son Jesus Christ to bring me out of all darkness. And I'm not here to trick anyone this morning. I have no magic spell for you. I'm just a guy telling my story. And I can tell you with every ounce of who I am that I could do nothing in this life without the power of Jesus Christ. Freedom from fear came as a direct result of the decision to give my life to Christ. My life has improved every single year because I know him and I follow his plan for my life. There's nothing special about me that would make him do it for me and not you. And if you've never begun a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you if you'd like to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And if you're ready at that moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. Not because I need to see your hand. I'm not your God. God sees our hearts and knows our thoughts. I don't get a cookie if you raise your hand. But I do care about you. And I care about your place in eternity. And at that moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand as an outward display of the decision that you're ready to make. And after that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, confessing your life to Christ. And in accordance to the word of God, which says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for your presence here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the strength to preach your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you've made a path for someone today to receive you as Lord and Savior. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, and you're ready to do that today for the first time, we just slip up your hand where you're sitting right now. Let's go ahead and slip it up where we can see it. If you're ready today to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Now, thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Lord, we praise you. Thank you for that hand this morning. Is there anyone else this morning who's ready for that, ready to make Christ Lord of their life for the first time today? Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to ask you all to just to repeat a prayer with me, and we're just going to confess the word of God and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you as a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me clean and make me new. I confess you now as Lord of my life, and I believe that you died for my sins. I thank you now for saving me, and I receive your goodness in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we believe you've been born again. And we believe that there's a party going on in heaven right now. And let's acknowledge that, church. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we exalt you today. We give you all the honor. And stand with me this morning. And finally, if you just bow your head again for a moment. If you've already begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you've been struggling with fear, this has been an area that maybe has spoken to your heart today. And if that's you, I want to pray for you right now with all heads bowed and eyes closed. If that's you and you say, John, fear has been a struggle for me and I want you to pray for me right now, would you just slip up your hand where I can see you? I see hands all over this place. Lord, we praise you. I want to pray for you right now. We're going to pray for the love of God to come upon you. We're going to pray for that love to be rooted and grounded in your heart. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray for love to fall in this place right now. I pray for the love of God to just saturate the hearts of everyone right now who's been dealing with fear. In the name of Jesus, we bind fear. And we command that to go from this place. I release the Holy Spirit right now into the hearts of those who need that comfort and need that encouragement. And Lord, I just pray right now for your presence to become so real in the lives of everyone in this church, so real that they can't fear because they can clearly see you walking with them. You can't be afraid when God is walking by your side and you can see his power working in your life. And I pray for that presence to become so real today, God, so real that permeates every bit of our being. And Lord, we just give you the glory for it. Lord, we honor you right now with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, the roast didn't burn today, right? So thank you so much for coming out and worshiping with us this morning. It was great to see you today, and we'll see you again on Wednesday night. Amen.